everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Respect yourself. Well, I'm Sheldon Brown, and it feels like a brand new day, as Joe Cocker says in that great song, Respect Yourself. A brand new day because I've had the longest break away from Take It From Us that I think I've ever had. And thanks very much to Declan for holding the fort and entertaining you over the last couple of Tuesdays. Well, this is Mental Health Radio Take It From Us. It's brought to you by Framework Trust. It's just great to be back. There's been a significant announcement over the holidays about Mental Health Awareness Week in 2019, and mention of 2019. Well, happy festive season to all our listeners, and thank you very much for the support. Last year, that is demonstrated in the number of downloads that have occurred on the Planet FM website. They total almost 3,000 for 2018. So that's pretty satisfying, and maybe it's a confirmation that we're covering some of the key issues on Take It From Us. Well, as I say, there's been a significant announcement about Mental Health Awareness Week. For the first time in my memory anyway, Mental Health Awareness Week in 2019 is going to be in September. It's going to take place between the 23rd and the 29th of September. And the reason for this is that previously it had been usually in the second week of October, starting around the 9th or the 10th. But this coincided with school holidays, and there's been a lot of feedback to the Mental Health Foundation, which says that schools want to be part of Mental Health Awareness Week, and our young people want to celebrate mental health with us. So that's the reason the date has been changed, so that the 23rd to the 29th of September means that it falls during the school term. So you have the opportunity to register already with the Mental Health Foundation on their website at mentalhealth.org.nz to get information and updates on the 2019 Mental Health Awareness Week campaign. Well, there was some nice little comment on social media that I picked up my first day back. This had a heading which said, "Life is like a journey on a train." And I'd like to read this to you because I think it's got some lovely sentiment in it. "Life is like a journey on a train, with its stations, with changes of routes, and with accidents. At birth, we boarded the train and met our parents, and we believe they will always travel on our side. Other people will board the train, and they will be significant, i.e. siblings and friends and children and even the love of our life, perhaps. Many will step down and leave a permanent vacuum. Others will go so unnoticed that we don't realise that they vacated their seats at all. This train ride will be full of joy, sorrow, fantasy, expectations, hellos, goodbyes and farewells. Success consists of having a good relationship with all the passengers, requiring that we give the best of ourselves. The mystery to everyone is we do not know at which station we ourselves will step down. So we must live in the best way, love, forgive, and offer the best of who we are. It is important to do this because when the time comes for us to step down and leave our seat empty, we should leave behind beautiful memories for those who will continue to travel on the train of life. The person who wrote this says, I wish you a joyful journey for the coming year on the train of life. Reap success and give lots of love. More importantly, thank God for the journey. And we're going to be saying a little bit about thanks and gratitude a little bit later in the show. Declan, you're back on deck. You had a bit of fun in the last couple of Tuesdays.
Oh, look, I had a blast. Bit of a mix of shows on the 1st through to the 8th. But, yeah, I absolutely had a blast. It was in my element. I thought, who needs to go and pay $8,500 to go through radio training school?
Right. You were right in your element then.
Oh, I was. I was basically like a pig in mud, more or less.
Well, that's a kind way of saying it. Somebody asked me about how I was enjoying getting back on a chainsaw, getting back on a skill saw, cutting down dead pungas and other dead trees on Waiheke Island.
You notice how I left you in peace and quiet?
Because
I knew you'd be flat out.
Well, there wasn't too much peace and quiet with the chainsaw roaring and the skill saw roaring. But, increased my feeling of independence and happiness as well.
Well, it certainly lets the neighbour know who's in control, doesn't
right.
it, really? I was just thinking the chainsaw massacre. Then moving on.
Moving on. Trying to keep it positive.
Oh, absolutely.
For the show where we're wanting to talk about the 10 easy ways to take care of your mental health in 2019. We did promote Take It From Us yesterday on Facebook and through our database on the basis that we've got 10 easy ways to share with you to take care of your mental health in 2019. And this little paper says that New Year's resolutions tend to fall along the lines of losing weight or going travelling, but there's one very important thing all of us should be prioritising in 2019, and that's our mental health. This paper is from Australia, and it says a recent stress and well-being survey conducted by the Australian Psychological Society found that 26% of Australians are experiencing moderate to extremely severe symptoms of depression. And the same number, 26%, are experiencing above normal levels of anxiety. Well, it's hardly surprising given how their cricket team is playing at the moment. Those figures of 26%, that's around one quarter of Australians who are struggling with their mental health. And, of course, those figures are very much complementary here in New Zealand. They reckon it's probably one in two or one in three that struggle with their mental health, making it one of the biggest health issues on both sides of the Tasman. So here's some tips on how each and every one of us can prioritise our mental health. Here are the top 10 tips. And the first is to make you time a priority. And it's quoted here as saying that self-care has become a buzzword for a very good reason. And that good reason is it's incredibly important. Place an emphasis on setting aside you time every day and try to make time for enjoyable activities. This might mean half an hour every morning that you spend meditating, exercising, say, in the afternoon, taking a bath in the evening, or simply enjoying a good book. If your days are spent rushing around and seemingly doing everything for yourself and other people, it is very easy to feel stressed, overwhelmed, and eventually unhappy. And I've got a little piece here from my colleague who is a yoga therapist about self-care, and she says we all know how to eat healthy, exercise, sleep, but we don't really know how to self-care. Self-care means self-love, and this scares a lot of people for a variety of reasons. So self-care is, it's got great potential, but it's something that scares people, and I think it might be even worthwhile Declan checking it out online. But you've got number two there, haven't you?
I have. I was just going to say, the problem with me with my spa bath is I sort of look at it and think I'm going to get in this and not want to get out. or doze off.
So you don't get in at all?
No, sometimes I don't. Or if I get in, the water starts to get cold and then I think, oh, okay, it's time to move now.
Well, you haven't paid your power bill.
Oh, no, not quite that bad. Okay, and the second one we've got here is to practice gratitude. Saying studies have shown that the regular practice of being thankful for what you have can improve your mental well-being. So get started. Research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. The easiest way to do this is by thinking about the things to be grateful for every day and writing them down. The three good things exercise has been shown to increase well-being and reduce depression. This involves writing down three things that went really well today at the end of each day, and you've got note of the happiness experiment.
Yeah, well, in New Zealand, there's a Facebook page called the Happiness Experiment, the title, in fact, is the Happiness Experiment, Three Good Things, and I'd urge you to check that out on Facebook. It's run by Tamara Waugh, who works for Tamie Allen, it's a great way of recording one's gratitude. I mean, over the holidays, Declan, were grateful about?
Yeah, I was just going to say, happiness experiment. If I experiment, it doesn't bring me happiness, I ditch it. I just kicked back, had a bit of time to catch up on my books while I managed to stay awake.
Yeah.
And other than that, yeah, just been a bit of quiet time. And
but you were grateful that you had good books to read?
Well, yeah, they were good. The problem is I sit out on the deck, I start get reading, and about 10 pages later, I'm either dropping the book or dozing off, which really annoys me because it takes me forever to get through a book.
Well, but there again, you're getting rest, which is important.
I am, until I get the birds. But two tuis flew up the other day and just about scared the living daylights out of me.
Well, we were talking about self-care and self-love as one of the priorities for creating some you time. Our number three tip in these top 10 is practice self-love. While many people think that self-love is narcissistic, this isn't true. Understand that self-love is crucial for happiness, and it's important to practice being good at it. This doesn't mean you have to go around tooting your own horn. It just means telling yourself some positive thoughts each day rather than focusing on the negative. Try to remind yourself of the reasons you're a good person and notice how your mood can change. And I've had probably 17 or 18 years living in an apartment where I haven't needed to use my skill saw or my drop saw or chainsaw or drills. But I got back into it on Waiheke Island for different reasons, and that gave me a great deal of pride and a great deal of, confidence that I could return to something that I hadn't done for almost 20 years and get stuck into it again and achieve some, reasonable results. Managed to get some balustrades up on the deck where the deck railings were starting to rot, and I had to replace some timber there. And now it's child safe and adult safe, so there won't be another cave creek at Waiheke Island, or not at my property anyway.
I just had visions of you sitting on one of those tennis empire stands with one of those big, like, peacock feather fans with all these workmen scurrying around.
there were very few workmen there. I was doing all the work myself, part of the satisfaction.
Just as well I didn't turn up then, or I would have gone bush.
Right.
Okay. Moving on to number four, exercise. Well, we know the benefits of exercise, what that can have on our psychological well-being. However, a lot of people are quickly forgetting this. They make exercise a non-negotiable in your daily routine, even if you're set for a busy day. Just half an hour is enough to get the heart rate up and have those endorphins pumping.
And, you know, it doesn't mean to say that you have to get out and necessarily walk. I mean, exercise can involve doing the gardening, cleaning the house, in my case, cutting down dead pungas at Waiheke. And certainly it got the sweat going. And that was something that I read over the holidays, is that sweating and breathing are very, very good ways of losing weight. So that was a new approach relates to weight loss as well. We've done exercise. One of the other tips here in the top 10 ways of looking out for your and looking after your mental health is to wake up early. And apparently there's an increasing amount of evidence that that is making the case for waking up early, proving that it can reduce the risk of depression. A study published in the Journal of Psychiatric Research found people who consider themselves early birds are at a lower risk of mental illness. Research found those who naturally go to bed and rise early, 6 in the morning or earlier, had up to a 25% lower risk of depression compared to those who identify themselves as night owls. And you know what they say, the early bird gets the worm. And this raises the whole issue of so often when we're mentally and emotionally drained and unwell, we are tempted to stay in bed, to cogitate, and that can often lead to catastrophizing in bed, being disturbed, and in fact, times earlier for me where I got myself into a right state of sweating and inability to get out of bed and get to work. So sometimes bed is not our ally, and so waking up early can be a real plus for reducing the risk of depression. Well, let's take a music break. Declan, it's...
You didn't expect me to go straight to that without saying something, did you? I was going to say I get to bed really late and get up usually about 9, but the only time I get out of bed at 6 o'clock is for a tinkle and then back for the other 3 hours. But anyhow, moving right along, too much information. Remember back to the 80s, a movie called Tootsie?
Yeah, I do.
Mm. Well, Stephen Bishop wrote the, I don't know if you'll call it a title track, but from Tootsie, it's a song called It Might Be You. Quite a good one, actually. I remember seeing, you know, that movie always comes back to the back of my mind. Crazy for those times. But anyway, here's Stephen Bishop with It Might Be You on 104.6 Planet FM. You're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30.
Watching trains go by, all of my life, lying on the sand, watching seabirds fly, wishing there would be someone waiting home for me. Something's telling me it might be you. It's telling me it might be you. All of my life, looking back as lovers go walking past. All of my life, wondering how they met and what makes it last. Something's telling me it might be you. Yeah, it's telling me it might be you. So many quiet walks today, so many dreams to wait, and we've so much love. Oh, something's telling me it might be you. Yeah, it's telling me it must be you. And I'm feeling it'll just be you all of my life. It's you, it's you.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm Hi Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, who was the host, supremo host for the first 2 weeks of 2019, the last couple of Tuesdays.
That's not going to score you any chocolate biscuits.
Oh, why not? but anyway, we're just outlining 10 easy ways to take care of your mental health in 2019. And these tips have included making some you time a priority, self-care, and doing some things which are enjoyable activities, you know, taking some time out of every day. The second tip was to be thankful, to practice gratitude, and we recommended that you go on Facebook and look up the Happiness Experiment, Three Good Things, which is Tamara Waugh's page that she's established. It's very, very popular. The other one was to, the third one was to practice self-love. Fairly tricky, but not about tooting your own horn, but just remind yourself of the reasons you're a good person. And, you know, maybe that's some of the work you do for other people, some of the support you give to other people, some of the care and time that you take looking out for others. And then Declan mentioned exercise, and the fifth one was the idea of waking up early, that early birds get the worm. So what have we got for number six,
Declan? In my case, I got the bus to Melbourne at the airport. See, I don't even know where I'm going. Number six is watch your nutrition. Contrary to what many people think, our nutrition can affect our mental health. So make sure that you are fueling your body with the right nutrients. Just like a car, if you give it the wrong fuel, it won't go. So you look at your overall nutrition and ensure you're getting the nutrients from the recommended food groups. Studies have shown there is a link between the risk of depression and people's diet due to bad gut bacteria and the gut-brain connection. Makes me wonder about probiotics. Don't they talk about those?
Yeah, probiotics I think are pretty important. And there's a lot of people that say that our gut is our second brain, and we need to feed that pretty well. And I guess the five plus a day, which is the vegetables and fruit, are very important. So also the practice of writing things down, of journaling, and of course we can use our mobiles. I've been using my Samsung notebook over the week, over the holidays, to remind me of some of the priorities that I need to do in trying to get a property back into shape on Waiheke. And so that's been a great little reminder where I can go into my Samsung notebook and just on my mobile and check out some of the things there. And I checked something out this morning and I realised that I've got a courier post or a courier pack that I haven't picked up for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, so I'm hoping that's going to be there. So I have that little reminder. It says the practice of writing things down has been proven to help a person's mental state, particularly if you are feeling stressed or overwhelmed. The act of writing something down can allow you to free the worry or allow you to not focus on it as much. Get into the habit of journaling each day, you know, writing something out in your diary or on a piece of paper or making to-do lists at work.
Actually, very interesting you say that, because last night I was reading something that says rather than carrying stuff around in your head, chuck it down, which is what I do. And one of my friends goes, oh, why do you write that down for? And I say, because there's less buzzing around in my brain.
Yeah, well, excellent.
Makes sense. Number eight on our list is to be social. And they say that we are naturally social beings, so don't forget to seek out social situations once in a while and to surround yourself with people who make you feel good about yourself and try to avoid those who don't. Sometimes emotions can be contagious, so bear that in mind when choosing your social circles. That can be quite a difficult thing, I think, when you've got things like depression or anxiety, or social anxiety, that sort of thing. That can be a real challenge, and it was for me for a long time. To actually, you pretty much had to lift me up and throw me off the deck to get me to go anywhere. Well, I'd stay home for days on end.
And, I mean, what impact do you think that has on your mental health?
I think, if anything, it makes you more recluse, and I think it takes you even deeper into that burrow where you start to lose those skills to be able to interact with people, and it's not a good thing. I mean, I'd spend like 4 days and say, wow, I haven't been out for 4 days, and it's like, okay, I might go as far as the letterbox. And then you start to get to the point where you become avoidant of people. You go for a walk, you cross the road, so you don't have to interact, that sort of thing. So, it needs a bit of a kick occasionally. You know?
Well, I think that, making connection with people takes practice. It takes confidence, and I think I feel reasonably confident about doing that. I find the ferry trip to Waiheke is a wonderful opportunity to get chatting to people, and I started to talk to a group from Bathurst who were over here for 3 weeks or so going to the island, and I learned some great things about Bathurst. Of course, it's famous for the Bathurst 1000, but lots of other things as well.
I'm not taking my car around the circuit. I just had visions of you actually sitting on the back of the ferry with a fishing line out while you're going over.
While I'm chatting to people.
Yeah,
so anyway, we've got tip number 9 to improve our mental health and secure our mental health for 2019. And it says avoid constant monotony. Having a routine can make us more efficient and enhance our feelings of security. But try to break this up once in a while. A change of pace can improve any tedious schedule. And throwing in a little spontaneity into your life, or perhaps even taking a risk and going out and making sure that you make social contact with somebody, can improve your well-being. Try a different cafe for your coffee in the morning, an alternate running route, or jump in the car on the weekend for a spontaneous road trip. Also, try to set realistic goals and learn some new skills. Research has shown that striving to reach a goal that's important to you leads to greater levels of positive mood, life satisfaction, and actual success in achieving that goal.
I actually find too, getting that variety, but getting out as well. Like, I used to walk into places like cafes and think, what people are looking at me thinking, what are you doing here? And I think it's just getting your head around that. But yeah, as you say, avoiding constant monotony, you can get too regimented. And then it's the problem with that too, of the constant monotony, is that if something comes up that upsets your schedule, are you really prepared in your mind to deal with it, or does it just throw the whole thing into chaos?
Can you manage the little risk, the little interruption? And
yeah.
I think we've got to be flexible and be able to adapt to whatever comes up.
Well, there's a good bit. The next one, number 10, is seek help, which I think you could put on my head quite often. Mental health issues can affect anyone, no matter who you are, where you live, or your circumstances. Don't be afraid to seek help no matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't have to be a mental health professional. It could be a friend who's a good listener, a gym trainer, or a support group. That being said, don't be afraid to turn to a professional who can help you work through your problems. Psychologists and counsellors can be accessed through organisations like Lifeline or your GP. And I think that's the big thing, is we try to deal with so much on our plates rather than actually opening up. And I think sometimes if you've got those few good friends that you've got a real good close bond with, you could basically puke on their carpet and they wouldn't get upset type thing. You know, you could share anything with them. I think that's the big thing. And sometimes it's just sharing something that takes away that whole weight of carrying something, where they can give you an input that you might think, geez, I never thought of that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, well, it's another person's thoughts and mind and ideas that can cause us to change direction and get out of a bit of a dark hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's take another music break.
Oh, gosh, I found one this morning, actually, that I'd saved yesterday, listening to some summer tracks, which was quite interesting. It's from a lady called Ava Max. Never heard of her before. The song, I thought, well, I don't know whether it's really appropriate with its title, but it's called Sweet But Psycho. I thought, oh, well, we'll have a listen and see what she says. And you're listening, of course, to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting on 104.6 Planet FM, which, of course, is right here where you are now. Every Tuesday from 12:30 through to 1:30, here's Ava Max and Sweet But Psycho.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right, though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. She'll make you curse. Be sure.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown on Take It From Us with Declan Karam, the technician who kicked off the year for the first couple of Tuesdays. That was New Year's Day and I think the 7th, the 8th.
Yeah, the 8th. I had a great time, actually.
Oh, well, that's absolutely excellent. I'll have to look out for my seat in the studio.
Yeah, I brought my spa bath in with me as well.
Right. But social media is really providing Take It From Us with a lot of, I think, very valuable information. We've given you the 10 ways to take care of your mental health in 2019. And there's a lovely little piece here, how you can improve New Zealand's mental health. Well, we all know that there's been a huge inquiry into mental health and addictions, and this report is now out, and the all the feedback and all the reaction to it has not been positive. But I'd like to read this because I think it has some very significant points in it about mental health and how we all have mental health. It says New Zealand's record on mental illness is often in the news, along with our heartbreaking suicide rate and the pressure on our frontline services. There is no doubt that as a country we need to do more to support those around us who are struggling. But how to do that can sometimes feel really overwhelming. The good news is there's one simple thing we can all do to help improve the country's mental health. Understand it. Mental health is not mental illness. That is so commonly misunderstood. We so often hear about people who are unwell because they have mental health. The reality is we all have mental health. You, me, your neighbour, the Prime Minister, even the Queen of England and King of Tonga have mental health. Mental health refers to our psychological and emotional well-being, or how well we are mentally. Just as the term physical health refers to our physical well-being, or how well our body is. Mental health is not just about hospitals and being unwell. It is something we all have and nothing to be ashamed of. Neither is mental illness, for that matter. If we all understood that mental health would be infinitely easier to talk about. I'll read that again. If we all understood that, mental health would be infinitely easier to talk about. From there, we could talk about how, just like there are ways we can improve our physical health, exercising, sleeping well, and we've been giving you 10 ways of looking after your mental health in 2019. So there are things we can do to improve our mental health too. In other words, just as our bodies need nourishment to be healthy, our minds need nourishment to be well. So how does one nourish the mind? Well, it says here that the British government's helpfully packaged up 5 ways to well-being. Well, in fact, this has been adopted here in New Zealand for many, many years. And these 5 actions anyone can take, they're scientifically proven to boost mental health. Genuine mood boosters that cost nothing and anyone can do. And of course, connecting with other people, and we've talked about having social contact with people, taking notice of the good things in your life, being active. So we've talked about exercise as a way of improving our mental health. It says even a little exercise releases endorphins, our happy hormone. Keep learning. Learning makes us realise we're capable and boosts self-confidence. And giving, being kind to others, lifts our own mood. So there are those 5 things: connecting with other people, taking notice of good things in our life, being active, keeping learning, and giving. There are, of course, some small print. Factors like poverty, poor housing, and unemployment can take a big toll on well-being. 5 ways aren't magic elixirs for mental illness, and sometimes we'll need expert treatment to get well again. Just as Declan was saying, that it's important to call on professionals when we do get unwell. Just as the fittest, healthiest eater is not immune to heart disease, but 5 ways are useful to every New Zealander, including those of us who have a diagnosed mental illness. Mental health, like physical health, is something we need to factor into our everyday living. It's something we need to constantly think about and take care of so we stay well. So some wonderful sentiments and values expressed in that little paper entitled How You Can Improve New Zealand's Mental Health. And keep in mind that we all have mental health, and this is a sentiment expressed by the World Health Organization, that we all have mental health, and therefore it should be quite acceptable to talk about mental health. Well, let's take another music break, Declan.
Oh, indeed. Hey, I got one for you now, going back a fair way, but she's such a dag. Dolly Parton. You can remember her. She was well known for a very sort of busty part of her anatomy.
Well, it was only one busty part.
So well, and I've got the album here now, and I'm just thinking to myself, holy Moses. Anyway, here's a song for you. It's called Here You Come Again from Dolly Parton, and you're with Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting every Tuesday, 12:30 to 1:30, right here on 104.6 Planet FM.
Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
Yeah, and I'm Sheldon Brown, and Dolly Parton takes me back to a holiday that I took in Hawaii from Honolulu. I took a bus tour out to some of the big surf spots, although the surf spots weren't performing at the time. But we went past Dolly Parton's house, and the bus stopped, and nobody saw Dolly Parton or her two greatest assets. But I do recall that, that's where she was living at the time. So anyway, I just wanted to quote my yoga colleague, Vandana. She raises an issue in early this year of the magic formula for each of us. Do we know, she says, what our magic formula is? What is it that fills our cup up to rejuvenate us, refresh us, and feel alive? And she does encourage us to not drag ourselves around if we're not 100%. She suggests going and filling up your cup. Be brave enough to change your plan if you have to. Plans are not trees that are deeply dug into the ground. Be open to listening to others, she said. They can see things that we cannot see for ourselves. Have a handful of people who are blunt and truthful. but have your interests at heart. And this is something that I've been thinking a lot about over the holidays, is just how little some of us Kiwis are blunt and truthful with our friends. We skirt around these things. We are very scared of embarrassing others and embarrassing ourselves. But I think there is a great need, particularly in mental health, for people to be blunt and truthful with us, but have our interests at heart, and be with a partner who allows you to fly high and to grow. So there's some lovely little tips from Vandana, who we interviewed on Take It From Us some time ago. Now, Declan, you've got a story about a very tall basketballer.
Yeah, I have. I was just going to say, too, that sometimes it's easier, I'm finding nowadays, just to sit back and let someone else do all the talking. Not on radio, of course, but anyway. This is coming out in the Women's Day, dated yesterday, so the current edition. And it's Penina Davidson, and she is a basketball player. And she's talking about how she went through her battle. And so I thought I'd share that with you, because you might get some good tips and so on out of it. And what does she say in here? I'm just scanning through at the moment. She says, every day's a battle coping with the twin ravages of bipolar disorder, which has at times held a destructive grip on her life. It was in her junior year at university in California that she was first diagnosed with the debilitating condition. She'd had a few relationship issues and didn't know how to handle that. And she said that she went through a period of self-harming and covering up what she'd been doing by wearing a shooting sleeve on my arm. But the wounds were so bad, I started bleeding through my sleeve. I thought, ouch. On the recommendation of a friend, she was hospitalized for several days, and after testing was diagnosed with the disorder. And she said, as I found too, a massive relief, because from then on, she said, life became easier. She started to figure out what having bipolar meant. And I think the big thing there too is that you don't identify as being, hi, I'm Declan, I'm bipolar, I've got it. But I think it's just adjusting to find that new normal. She's born into a basketball family in Mount Roskill. And her mum and dad, they're both coaches. And initially she said she hated the sport. And I'm thinking, what? And she said she wasn't coordinated, and the first point that she'd ever scored was for the other team. I think I had that problem at school, actually, running the wrong way. Maybe that's why I bailed from sport early. And she said during her high school years at Rangitoto College, Penina excelled, and she made her Tall Ferns debut against Australia as a teenager before she won a scholarship to study in the US 4 years ago. She said life wasn't easy stateside, which I can imagine being overseas. She found the move a massive culture shock, and she struggled to adapt to the demanding collegiate basketball scene. Battling manic highs and depressive lows of bipolar in this environment became demanding, and Penina said there were high periods which coincided with heightened self-confidence, motivation and increasing energy levels. She'd think nothing of going to the gym at midnight. She'd get home at 2 in the morning and fall asleep 2 hours later, so thank goodness for 24/7 gyms, I guess. She said the highs also brought reckless behaviour. She said she's got almost 20 tattoos, and some of them were decided on the spot amidst the 23-year-old. So my head goes into overdrive looking at a picture trying to work out where they all are. But anyway, she said lethargy, where you're feeling stuffed, was common during low periods. And she said that she'd quite often sleep 14 hours in a stretch. Meanwhile, the negative thoughts would flood her mind, and gripped by the disorder, her life started to spiral downwards. And she said she'd misread what a coach or a professional had said and blow the situation out of all proportion because she didn't have the tools to cope with the negative patterns, and she said she'd end up isolating herself. And like I think a lot of people do, she sought solace in alcohol, and she would play ear-splitting music on her headphones just to stop the noise from her brain. But she said the self-harm followed. And one of the statements that I think is very important that comes out of this, and it's highlighted in the article, is that no one should ever feel so low that they want to do terrible things to themselves. And she said she'd use anything, yeah, I won't go into what she said she did in depth, but she said for weeks she couldn't look at herself in a mirror. Once the bipolar diagnosis came through, she then had hope with that. and she's had huge support from her university teammate, CJ West, who she said grounded her, as well as her mum and 17-year-old sister Marita, who Penina speaks to every day. She's found her own method of coping, and she embraces the condition, but also she tries to throw off its worst excesses. And she says, when I'm high, I won't abuse it and I don't drink coffee, she says. When I'm low, I feel like I want to sleep for 14 hours. I set my alarm to make sure I wake up after 7 or 8 hours. But she said, yet most of all, I've learned being unapologetically me has helped. If I don't want to do something, I won't. If I'm on a high and someone invites me for a coffee, I'll say no. Graduating from university with a major in sociology in June, Penina since earned the dream 3-year contract to play professionally for Harbour Breeze in New Zealand's Women's Basketball Championships, as well as playing for the Adelaide Lightning in the Aussie National League. Her court ambitions are only part of her remarkable story. She hopes that by sharing her experiences of bipolar, it will generate greater awareness. And she said, in New Zealand, we don't talk about it and we often adopt a she'll be right attitude. But she said, this is real. It's a condition many people have little control over, and it can affect people in their daily life. And she says that cavalier, she'll be right attitude just doesn't hack it anymore. She says, the more open I am, the more people I hope will talk about it. And they also put down here, if you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, that you can call the Suicide Crisis Helpline on 0508 Tautoki, I think it is, T-A-U-T-O-K-O. And you can text HELP to Lifeline on 4357, or you can call them on 0800 543 354. But I think the main thing there is, don't feel ashamed of whatever you're going through with mental health. There are people to help you, and it's just getting that, reaching out there. So, yeah.
I think one of the crucial things that I took out of that lovely little story in Woman's Day, and that's in the latest issue of Woman's Day.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
Is that she embraced her bipolar rather than battling it, even though the headline does say that she has a bipolar battle, which I guess is a little sensational. But she has embraced her mental health, and I would venture to say that by embracing it, she has been able to manage it, and it sounds as though she's achieving a great deal and living a very fruitful and flourishing sort of life.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when you say that you are, when you say battling, some people say, oh, I'm suffering from that. So it puts your subconscious mind into that, because you're saying I'm suffering, you then sort of sometimes do that. It's like what we said earlier in the 10 tips about losing weight. And I remember reading something there, it subconsciously says you're better off to sort of say, I'm going to shed some weight or dump some weight or whatever, because when you lose something, you want to find it again.
Indeed,
it's just a little subconscious thing, but it's amazing, you know, when you try and make personal changes, how your mind goes, well, hang on, we were here, it's too hard to get there, and you go, shut up and just keep moving.
Well, it's very hard, I think, if you focus on the fact that you're battling your mental health or suffering it. I think the kinder way is to say that you're experiencing your mental health. Well, let's take another music break and we'll wrap up, take it from us.
I've got a real interesting one for you, actually. Have you heard of a group called Pentatonix?
Not Pentatonix.
Well, they do a song called Hallelujah, but they don't really have, I don't even think they've got any instruments. But anyway, have a listen, see what you think. Once again, you're listening to Take From Us Mental Health Radio, and we broadcast here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on 104.6 Planet FM.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight.
tied you to the kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Well, we're back on air, and I'm host Sheldon Brown. Take it from us. We did promise in our promotion yesterday that we'd talk a little bit about returning to work after holidays, some of the key things that are needed to be done. We've given you lots of suggestions about mental health and looking after yourself at work. One of them is to make a prioritised list of tasks. Your emails, your voice messages, some of the things that you needed to do, like me. I had to prepare for today's broadcast without a lot of idea of what we were going to bring to you today. So that was a major priority for me. Make plans to enjoy yourself the first week back. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself or treat yourself just because you're back at work. So scheduling a lunch date or two with friends, maybe treat yourself to a favourite beverage at the local cafe, and leave the office on time. That's another suggestion. Don't do too much on the first few days. Make a point to leave the office and set a timer or a reminder if need be to help you get out the door. And cut yourself a break. Returning back to work after a vacation is a transition period. Don't beat yourself up over how long it's taking you to catch up on things. It may take several days. So there you go, just a few ideas about getting back to work. My first day was yesterday, and I can admit to feeling pretty exhausted with the change of routine. So, how are we doing there?
You've got a few more. I'll give you another 20 seconds. How's that?
Yeah, well, remember that date, the new Mental Health Awareness Week date is going to be the 23rd to the 29th of September. That's very important. And we're also expecting the report of the Director of Mental Health, Dr. John Crawshaw. It's out quite a lot later than usual, as he normally produces it. And this is really the state of mental health. So we are expecting that end of January or early February.
We're out of here. We'll catch you next week, guys.
Thanks for listening.
If you disrespect everybody that you run into.